SBS Radio.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Now it's that time of the week to talk about science and technology with Wiradjuri woman and science editor Ray Johnston. Welcome back on NITV Radio, Ray.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Now we start with one that, I don't know how to take it, but cities full of trees throw shade on their green space counterparts.
I know it sounds like they've got a beef or something, but yeah, it seems like only having grass and shrubs is not enough, because researchers have found areas in cities that are full of trees are about 2 to 4 times cooler than urban green spaces without trees. You have to have the trees. And to find this out, the research team, they compared the temperature differences of urban areas with trees and those urban green spaces without the trees and other built-up areas as well. And they used satellite data of land surface temperature and land cover for 293 different cities to get all of the information they needed to come to this conclusion. And they also found that while urban trees and rural forests as well, they have the potential to cool, rural pastures and treeless urban green spaces both have, in some instances, a small warming effect compared to just general urban areas. So the moral of this research, trees. We need to have more trees everywhere, rural areas and urban areas, and it will help cool the planet.
And the message should be heeded by not just everyone, but politicians, because they're the ones who plan our cities. And so that the next city planners put this into their consideration.
Absolutely. And if they could plant native trees, that would be even better, because they will help support our native species and birds and mammals and insects. So, yeah, everyone go plant a native tree, please.
Yeah. Now, atmospheric rivers may hasten Australia's snow melt.
Yes. Yeah, so the Australian Alps, it might suffer from a lot of snow, and the surrounding regions could also endure some flooding as climate change supercharges a phenomenon known as atmospheric rivers. Now, atmospheric rivers are long, narrow regions of high moisture content in the lower atmosphere, and it transports most of the water vapor from the tropics to the subtropics and also below. And as the name suggests, they're like big rivers in the sky, and they often extend over thousands of kilometers. And as the climate warms, the intensity of these events is predicted to become more extreme, and they're going to happen more often as well. Now, climate change means more rain on the snowpack and increased rapid snowmelt in these regions, which will sometimes lead to some severe flash flooding. And while atmospheric rivers can be vital in bringing rainfall and at times breaking droughts as well, their increasing unpredictability, it places communities around the globe and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of infrastructure as well at risk. And as the rate of global warming quickens, the future of the Australian Alps in particular hangs in the balance. And this hinges on a variety of factors. The Australian Alps snowpack, it's marginal already. It's not really very big compared to other snowy regions in the world. But it's also facing reductions in snow depth and wintertime rain, as well as predicted reductions in snow cover to the extent of 60% by 2070. It could be down to just 40% of what it is. And all of these factors may lead to more fleeting snow cover in the Australian Alps by 2050 or even sooner. So we need to be doing something about climate change if we want to save our Australian Alps snowfields.
Yeah, people may not realize it, but 2050 is just around the corner. I just wish this can be reversed.
Yeah, it seems like so far away until you think about it, and it's less than 30 years away. That's not long at all.
Very, very close. And that one for parents, especially leading up to the upcoming holidays, screen time for children. Not all forms of screen time are made equal. What does that entail?
Yeah, so children's mental health and, you know, achievement at school, they might be impacted by the type of screen time they're engaging with, rather than just the amount of time they're in front of a screen. And I must say, this is not new knowledge. I was reporting on this and the differences between active technology, where you're taking part in screen time, and passive technology, where you're just consuming what's on the screen. This 10 years ago, I was talking about this. But this is a new study to help back up this fact, because it's not something that's very widely reported on. Not a lot of people know this. And this research team, they collected data on about 120 children aged 8 to 12, which isn't a huge sample size, but they asked them to perform all of these tests to see how they were consuming media and how it might be impacting on them. And the researchers say that media multitasking, like listening to music while scrolling online through social media, this was more associated with negative mental health, while playing video games was associated with better mental health and also faster response times on testing. We do actually know, and we've known for a long time, that playing video games can help your brain power. It helps with your decision-making skills and your fine motor skills and your reflexes. So playing video games is actually a really positive way for your kids to be playing, to be engaging in screen time, as long as it's age appropriate. That's the main important thing. And the researchers on this study, they say that more focus now is needed on the type of media consumption rather than just simply looking at total screen time. We can look at our screen and go, oh no, I've spent 6 hours today on screen time. But, you know, if an hour of that was spent playing a video game with friends, so you're getting that social interaction as well as doing a bit of problem solving and, you know, escaping into a beautiful world and discovering a new story, then that's a good thing for kids. Up with the video games, down with the social media.
I also heard that actually when kids learn how to play on these video games, they develop some motor skills that allow them, for instance, to be fighter pilots or things like that, because they know how to juggle different little buttons and controls.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's all about multitasking and your fine motor skills, being able to switch quickly with your fingers from one thing to another. But also playing video games can create new neural pathways in your brain. So you are able to better, you know, do the kinds of things that you're doing in video games in the real world. It's just incredible. I'm a big fan of video games. Can you tell?
I can understand that. I don't have one, but it's Black Friday, so I'll go get myself one.
Oh, definitely. Highly recommend. Get yourself a console and play some games.
And it will develop skills and other new experiences.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah.
Now, we stay in the realm of smart technology, smartphones with grandparents. Well, give Nan a smartphone to help her remember daily tasks.
Yeah, this is a really interesting study that has shown that older adults who may have mild dementia can learn to use smartphone memory aids and apps to help them to remember to complete everyday tasks that are really important to their quality of life. And in this study, 52 older adults with a mild cognitive impairment or mild dementia were coached on how to use a digital voice recorder app or a reminder app. And after 4 weeks, using the digital recorder or reminder apps meant that the people taking part in this study had better memory and they saw greater improvements in activities of daily living. And the researchers pointed out that these smartphone aids, as long as you've got the phone already, they're free and they're widely available and they should be shared with patients and caregivers to support the quality of life and independent functioning for people. Because there's this really, you know, there's this idea that's ingrained that older people don't like technology. And it's actually not true. You know, they found in this study even that they really enjoyed learning how to use the smartphone memory apps and were able to improve their daily memory performance. And I think, and the researchers have this thought as well, you know, tech companies, there's a real opportunity to improve smartphone memory aids being used in older adults. And also with, you know, all people with mild stages of Alzheimer's disease, you know, if they just make a couple of tweaks to how it looks and how to get into the phone in the first place, make it slightly less complicated, and also to market these reminder apps at this market, let them know that these apps exist. And, you know, if you've got a nan or pop or older person in your life that is having problem with their memory, or, you know, anyone in your life that's having problem with their memory, sitting down with them maybe over the holidays and teaching them how to use some of these apps might be a good way to spend some of your time.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. It really breaks the stereotypes, because if you look at, just general conversations or even shops, when they have these very little phones, not smart ones, but old-style, big-button phones, they say, yeah, for older people who can't use smartphones, and yet smartphones would be actually beneficial for them.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, you know, technology can be overcomplicated, but it doesn't need to be. It can be really simple. And sometimes all it takes is someone to have some patience to just go through something with you. And the joy that you get from being able to understand something that you'd previously dismissed, and then to be able to have that thing improve your quality of life, you know, that's priceless. I think that there's a real opportunity here. And yeah, I would love to hear from any listeners if they've taught anyone in their lives how to use a phone, and if it's made their lives a lot better. I know when I taught my dad how to use a smartphone, you know, the messages never stopped from that point on, so I communicate with my dad a lot more now. It would be really interesting to hear those stories.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, Ray Johnston, you never stop actually bringing us these stories that are exciting and always, I can't even name them, entertaining, informative, and just raise our curiosity as well.
Oh, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure to be here. And yeah, I also should let you know that I've got a new podcast that I've just released with NITV. It's called STEAM, so it's all about science and technology, engineering, arts and maths. So a bit of the latest news, but also some interviews with people working in these spaces to find out what they're up to and to just kind of explore that intersection of Indigenous knowledge and cultural knowledge, traditional knowledge and modern science. So hopefully you can have a listen, and anyone listening would like to subscribe and have a listen, that would be great.
And learn more. Ray Johnston, thank you so much for taking the time to bring us all these new stories again, and have a great weekend.
No problem, you too.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.